We're mattress dancing on this episode of 90s Tunes with Avery and Lena.
That's right. He said mattress dancing. A lot of people might know that reference, might not know that reference, so we'll get into it.
We are looking back at the album Fly by the Chicks, or is it the Dixies?
I don't know. It was the Dixie Chicks at the time, and now it's the Chicks. I think we should say the Chicks.
Okay, I'm good with whatever.
We'll get into it. Okay. Not what we should do, but. So formed in 1989 by sisters Marty and Emily Irwin. Well, that's their maiden names. They're different now. Marty was a fiddle player. She won national competitions. She plays a whole bunch of things, even like the mandolin, a double bass. Her sister Emily plays banjo, accordion, piano, a dobro, which I don't know. It's a resonator guitar. I never heard of it until today. And they called them the Dixie Chicks. There was an album called Dixie Chicken by Little Feet, a band called Little Feet. So Dixie Chicks kind of from there. They changed it in 2020 due to the negative association of Dixie with the South and Confederacy and racism. So then there were two other people in the band, but they played bluegrass and country standards. They opened for Garth Brooks and Reba, and they did all right. But then they wanted to become more contemporary, and that's the other two members kind of left around that time, and that's when Natalie Maines came in. Her dad was a session musician for them, and he was big in his own right as a musician. He introduced them. He suggested her for the singer in 1995.
Right.
He was sent the song Wide Open Spaces, and he suggested it for them, which was one of their biggest hits, like, at the time. They had a couple of albums, but with her, this is her second album, Fly, in 1999. Actually, Wide Open Spaces was in 1998, so that's fast. 1998, 1999. Uh-huh. There was a lot of there's some controversies. Like, the biggest controversy in 2003, while in London, Maines said she didn't support Bush's invasion of Iraq and said she was ashamed he was from Texas. Wow, there was backlash. You must remember that.
I remember that, but it's like uncalled for.
Yeah, especially nowadays. Think about how everyone, what they say about Trump. Like him or lump him, that's a president. And to say, you know, like, just things have changed how people now talk about presidents, I think, back different than 2003. Like, they got death threats. They were taken off country stations. They're just, it was terrible. But they did a couple of benefit concerts after that. And in 2006, they had a new album with Not Ready to Make Nice. Do you know this song?
Yes. Yeah,
it just talks about the controversy, really. And it's kind of awesome. It's kind of some anger where she's like, she's not really sorry for what she said. She just like, how can people then like give me death threats for saying that? It's kind of what it goes. It's worth, if you don't know the song, like, look into it. It's pretty awesome. Yeah, so they still toured. They're still touring. The sisters had a band called Courtyard Hands for a bit, but they still toured as the Chicks. And then in 2020, that was their first album in 14 years, Gaslighter, which is also a pretty amazing song.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of brings us to Fly. Brings us back around to Fly in 1998. Yeah.
1999?
Yeah, what did I say? 1998?
Yeah.
Yeah, the other one was 1998. This is 1999. So I skipped over some, like the other band members' names, but they're a pretty big name, I think.
I think they are. I don't listen to a lot of country music, but I know this band.
Yeah.
And I knew some of their songs.
They crossed over to pop charts. Yeah. So I was surprised when I listened to hear how country or bluegrass this really was.
Yeah.
Because I really only knew their hits. And it's not a bad thing. It's just I wasn't sure. That's why I chose this album. I knew a couple of songs off of it.
Okay.
I think I knew more than I thought. Maybe just kind of hearing. But yeah. What did you think of it?
Overall, I thought it was a good album. Yeah. I enjoyed listening to it. I listened to it with you. I listened to it by myself. I listened to it on the drive home today. Yeah, I was pleasantly surprised. I enjoyed it that much.
I mean, I don't know a lot of bluegrass. I kind of like any that I hear, but not enough that I explore. But you could really appreciate the instrumentation, is that a word, on this album, I think.
Yeah.
So many people on the album doing, like, even Lloyd Maines, the Natalie's father, is on it. They wonder, they both got a Grammy because they were both on it, if they were the first father-daughter duo, but I didn't look it up. They didn't look it up. They just pondered it, and nobody, yeah. So you might not know the name, Randy Scruggs. His dad is Earl Scruggs, and he was just in Bluegrass. I've heard that name, Earl Scruggs.
Sounds familiar.
And I don't think from this podcast. Keith Urban is on it.
Yes, I saw that.
Yeah, because they do the song Some Days You Really Gotta Dance. Was a Keith Urban song with his previous band called The Ranch. So they took it, and he still wanted to be a musician on it. This was kind of before he was big, so...
Okay.
Actually, James Taylor did it in the Vote for Change concert that they did with him. He sang it, and then he recorded a version. Just throwing that out there.
Okay.
So what songs did you know?
I knew that one about Earl there.
Goodbye, Earl.
And...
Cowboy Take Me Away.
Yeah, Cowboy Take Me Away.
Sorry, I figured. That's they were the two I knew, and then I thought, and then a couple sounded familiar. I mean, Goodbye Earl is pretty well-known song, I think. I didn't actually know it till a couple of years ago, but it really, once you hear it, it sticks in your mind. It's a good story. Black comedy about an abused wife getting revenge and killing her husband.
Mm-hmm.
The B-side on that is actually Stand By Your Man, which is kind of interesting to me. So some stations didn't play it. They just said, oh, it's too controversial. Some did, but they put a number for domestic violence, the domestic violence hotline, at the end of the song.
Okay.
I don't remember hearing it on the radio growing up, but I have in recent years. So in the video, Wanda was played by Jane Krakowski of 30 Rock. Earl was played by Dennis Franz of NYPD Blue and Hill Street Blues. Yeah, yeah. Canadian connection. Marianne is played by Lauren Holly, not Canadian, but she was in Dumb and Dumber, starring Canadian Jim Carrey.
Okay.
That's my Canadian connection. And there's lots of parodies of this song. There's one where called Goodbye Squirrel. There's one called, there's one where Earl comes back. It's like, haha, you didn't kill me. I didn't listen to it, but but also, this is a little aside, but the parody Goodbye Squirrel is done by, there's a guy who's known as the Country Weird Al, and he does the spoof of that in another one. And I just can't find his name. It's like Cletus J. Tubb or something like that. Why can't I find that? But it's kind of, I didn't know there was such a guy.
Okay, I didn't know there was either.
Yeah, I know I wrote it down somewhere. I can't find it. But what's kind of funny is they played that, and they found it funny. They're like, they'll play a song about murder, but they wouldn't play Sin Wagon on the radio. Oh, Cletus T. Judd did a version. That's the guy's name. Did a version of this called Wife Nagin. Yeah, because Sin Wagon, especially the line, mattress dancing. That's right. I said mattress dancing. Like, kind of says what the song is about. Fun song. I kind of love this song.
It was a fun song. I enjoyed it.
It was very bluesgrassy. It made me want to two-step. I don't know. It made me want to dance a jig. There's a great, like, the instrumental's great. The middle and the end has it. It's kind of a spoof on Grease Lightning.
Oh, hey,
kind of like that concept. And there was also a lawsuit filed by the family of Albert E. Brunley, who wrote I'll Fly Away, the gospel hymn, that they did a lawsuit. The chicks don't comment on it. I don't know what happened, but makes sense because at the end they say I'll fly away, and we kind of know what the
okay.
But this song, I didn't know this song. This song was, I laughed every time I heard that in a delightful, like, delighted way.
I never heard that term until I listened to this song.
Well, I didn't. I don't think it's necessarily a a thing to say. But also, this wasn't on the album versions I could find, but Ain't No Thing But a Chicken Wing is a song on this album, but I could not find, I could see where it said it was on it. I could not find this song anywhere. I looked on YouTube, I looked just online to find this version of this song, but it's not on anyone that I could find.
Okay.
Was it on wherever you listened to?
I don't know.
Yeah, which is just kind of interesting. Just I'm like, what happened there? Because I didn't talk about it. And then when I went on Wikipedia and said the tracks, I'm like, oh, that was there. So they did write most of their songs. And some were covers, including Cold Day in July. It was a cover written by Richard Lee, which he was best known for writing Don't It Make My Brown Eyes Blue by Crystal Gayle, which you might not know that song.
No.
Old country, I think from the 70s.
No, I don't know.
Crystal Gayle, ever hear of her? She had like long hair, like maybe down to her ankles, just long hair.
No, I don't know.
She was a thing. They had a lot of videos too, including one for Without You. It was directed by Maines's husband, Adrian Pastar, who's an actor. I looked up a picture of him. I'm like, oh, that guy. But I couldn't picture, like, I didn't know how I knew him.
Oh,
but
hey,
anyway.
Just wait. I'm going to stop you there because that brings me to my Canadian connection.
Oh.
Let's get into this. It's going to be a long one. So like you said, Maines married Adrian Pastar in June 2000. He was on a show called Burn Notice. Burn Notice starred Bruce Campbell, which in my heart, one of the greatest actors of our time. He had a movie called Bubba Hotep, which is a completely awesome movie,
mm-hmm.
and I love that movie, and it's ridiculously over the top, so go out and see it. It's in theaters now.
Maybe in some rerun, like one that plays cult classic kind of theater, yeah.
Well, it was directed by Don Coscarelli. That probably just pronounced it wrong.
The pronunciation police are not here.
Well, he also directed a movie called John Dies at the End.
Okay.
The music that was in that movie was done by Brian Taylor. Brian Taylor did the music for the 2008 movie Rambo.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, 2008?
Yes.
Okay.
It's part of the whole Rambo's franchise.
Mm-hmm.
The first movie in the Rambo franchise was a movie called First Blood. That movie was filmed in Hope, B.C.,
yes, because you always want to go to Hope, B.C. Maybe we'll make it there someday.
Yes, probably one of the greatest movies ever.
Don't put this in, but speaking about death and Rambo, don't put that in. We're going to bring it down a little. So the video, there was some naked people against a black background. That's kind of the premise. And there was one of them, including the chicks, or they were like, at least from the shoulders up. There was a pregnant lady in it, but her son died 4 days later. So they said, oh, we'll do a new video. But she wanted it kept, like kind of in memory of her baby. But they do say that it's dedicated to him at the end of the video, which is kind of nice, kind of sad. But there were some fun songs. There were some like ballady songs. There was some beautiful songs.
Yeah, it was like, there was I was expecting it to be all like very country-ish. And I was mistaken.
Yeah.
Like, there was some good toe-tapping songs in there.
Mm-hmm. Which is, can be country.
And just like, almost like very poppy, kind of rock and country kind of thing.
Yeah, I agree.
Thanks.
They even, like, and I guess there were some I knew. There was, well, it starts with Ready to Run, which was on the Runaway Bride soundtrack. And I don't remember, I didn't think I knew this song, but there's a video and they're all wearing wedding gowns. It's like a triple wedding and that's the video. And I've seen that video for sure. But I love the way it started. It sounded very Celtic-y.
Oh, hey, yeah, yeah.
Makes sense, fiddle.
Yeah.
It's not that big of a leap, but at first that's how it sounds. Then like followed by, and then there's like, Cowboy Take Me Away, which is quite a poem, I want to say. Like there's some good images in that song. It was actually, they got it from the slogan for Calgon bath products.
Okay.
It was like, I remember that being the slogan. There was, you know, some songs, like some stories, Goodbye Earl. Yeah, some like slower ones, like A Cold Day in July, Without You is kind of a beautiful one. Yeah. There's some that like Heart, what's number 12 on the, what's that track called?
Heartbreak Town.
Heartbreak Town, yes. That gave me goosebumps, and I didn't expect to. It wasn't my favorite song, but when I was listening to it, I wondered, and if anyone from the States knows this, tell us about it. It says a line about honking the horn when we pass the state line, and is that a thing? Like,
I have no idea.
Like honking a horn when you go through a tunnel in Hawaii? Just something, yeah? Yeah, and there was just like some fun songs too, like Sin Wagon, Some Days You Gotta Dance, very fun songs. Hole in My Head, also kind of funny.
Yeah,
I need that guy like a hole in my head. Like, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it was up and down, like the feels, and then like, wow, that's great, a story, and just like fun, and then some like other slow country songs almost. I thought this album was great. I didn't know what to expect.
Yeah.
I'd been deliberating this or their other one for months, and I never chose it, but I'm happy I chose it.
Yeah, I was sort of glad you chose it as well. It was a good listen.
Yeah, and great musicians.
Oh, yeah.
That's, yeah. So, and then you put in a great singer.
Yeah.
I also listened to Natalie Maine's version of the Jeff Buckley song, Lover, Hold On To Me.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it was good. She can have some anger in her voice sometimes. Wasn't quite anger, but compared to Jeff Buckley's, I think it was anger.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I listened to it with headphones on. You could really then hear the music more, or you're paying attention. Yeah, so, yeah, glad I chose it.
Good.
And what are we going to listen to next week? You have this weird smile.
We're not even going to.
Oh, we're going to talk about how they're how it charted. I'm guessing well.
It did. There were 8 singles off this.
Wow. Are some like from country stations? So maybe.
No, I don't know. I don't know how they were.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Singles. But only 4 of them charted in Canada. A lot of them charted in the States. But what I found interesting was Goodbye Earl was their biggest song in the States, but only reached number 3 in Canada, or number 5 in Canada.
Hmm.
Cowboy Take Me Away reached number 1.
Yep.
Without You reached number 8. And Ready to Run reached number 3.
Hmm.
I was very surprised by that.
Kind of, but I didn't know Goodbye Earl in the 90s. It's not till...
Yeah.
Recent years, so
yeah, and the whole album reached number 1 on the Canadian country album charts and reached number 6 on top album on the Canadian top albums.
Wow,
and went 3 times platinum in Canada, so 300,000 sold in Canada. So
good for them,
yeah, sold pretty well,
mm-hmm.
Placed pretty well. I think it was a good album, no wonder it placed well and sold a lot,
yeah, and it kind of reminded me. I think, too, in the 90s, like, you had Shania Twain. Some of the songs sounded like kind of what Shania Twain and Mutt Lang were trying to do in some of their slower songs. But, like, I think there was some crossover that started, especially, well, in the 90s between country coming onto the pop charts. I mean, there was some of that in the 80s, too, but I'd say this was a great example of that.
Yeah, I'd say so.
I mean, they played Lilith Fair, which that's not necessarily a genre, but it's kind of like females and, yeah, like, I don't know. It's not a genre, but I don't think country necessarily, although I did see Lady Antebellum, and Sheryl Crow can be kind of country, so.
Yeah, but, I can see that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So next week, we have a special guest on. Her name is Avery Cochran. So it's pretty awesome having 2 Avery Cochrans on the same show.
Yes.
She is a awesome musician from Seattle. And we already recorded this.
Yeah, so. Because I mentioned Jeff Buckley.
Yes.
And sorry, I little podcast behind the scenes. We don't always just record and then that's what's out the next day. Sorry, yeah. I got ahead of myself. I forgot what wasn't released, but.
Yeah, so we already recorded that, but we're looking back at a Jeff Buckley album. We originally thought we'd look back at one song and just do one of our 90s tune podcasts. But it was so awesome talking to Avery that, you know, we started talking about one song and then 2 songs we were going to look at. And then we started talking about more songs. And the whole podcast just took a long time and it was awesome. Avery was an awesome guest, so. I'm looking forward to releasing that one after this. So tune in for that. Like I said,
Avery's. Yeah. Come on.
So I don't even think I said the name of the album, but we looked back at Jeff Buckley live at the King Cat Theater in Seattle, Washington in 1995. So it's a live album. I think it's our first live album that we listened to.
Yeah.
On this podcast.
So, which is so funny with so many MTV unplugs.
Yeah.
Which I've been always wanting to choose, but.
Yeah.
I always have something. Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to releasing that. I was looking forward to talking to Avery it was pretty awesome. So
yeah, so listen in next week.
Keep on listening.
Keep on listening. That's what it is.
Sounds it, mattress dead.
That's right. I said mattress dead. That's right. We'll talk about it.